Good morning and welcome to this online service of morning prayer. We are delighted that you have been able to join us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth stand in awe of him. The hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father,
we have sinned against you
and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that has passed, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
On page 120, the Canticle Jubilate.
Be joyful in the Lord,
holy lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness,
and come before his presence with a song. Be sure that the Lord, he is good. It is he that hath made us not only ourselves, we are his people, and the sheep of his.
The psalm appointed for this morning is number 84, which we shall say by alternate division of verses. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts!
My soul has a desire and longing to enter the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God.
The sparrow has found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young.
At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are they who dwell in your house.
They will always be praising you.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you.
In whose heart are the highways to Zion.
Who going through the barren valley find there a spring.
And the early rains will clothe it with blessing.
They will go from strength to strength,
and appear before God in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer.
Listen, O God of Jacob.
Behold our defender, O God.
And look upon the face of your anointed.
For one day in your courts
is better than a thousand.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God
than dwell in the tents of ungodliness.
For the Lord God is both sun and shield. He will give grace and glory.
No good thing shall the Lord withhold from those who walk with integrity.
O Lord, God of hosts,
blessed are those who put their trust in you.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the first book of Kings, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the ancestral houses of the Israelites, before King Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart. The covenant that you kept for your servant, my father David, as you declared to him, you promised with your mouth and have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, there shall never fail your successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your children look to their way, to walk before me as you have walked before me. Therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you promised to your servant, my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less his house that I have built. Have regard to your servant's prayer and his plea, O Lord, my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today, that your eyes may be open night and day towards this house, the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays towards this place. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. O hear in heaven your dwelling place, heed and forgive. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm. When a foreigner comes and prays towards this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and so that they may know that your name has been invoked on this house that I have built.
The Canticle, Te Deum, Parts 1 and 2.
Oh.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 56. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Canticle, Benedictus.
Oh.
I believe in God.
I believe in God.
The Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant her government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
The Collect of the Day. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, save through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
O God,
O God,
the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We sing the hymn, There is a Redeemer.
God's own Son, there's a throne. Let us pray. We pray for the church in this diocese and for David, our bishop, for this group of parishes, especially those recently confirmed. O God, whose matchless power is ever new and ever young, pour out your Spirit upon us and your whole church, that with renewed faith, vision, and obedience, we may the more joyfully testify to your new creation in Christ, and more selflessly serve your new order amidst the old, for the glory of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray for those who are preparing for ordination, for those being made deacon today, Elaine Pentland to serve as intern in Willowfield Parish, and Andrew Moore to serve as intern in St. John's Orangefield. For those next week being raised to the priesthood, the Reverend Jim Fleming serving in Kilcomain, and the Reverend Bernie serving in St. Clement's, Templemore Avenue. Grant, Lord God, to those whom you have called to be shepherds of your people, that they may be patient listeners to those who bring them their burdens, trustworthy recipients of their confidences, ready discerners of their true points of need, wise advisers of those who look for guidance, practical helpers to those who cannot cope alone, and in all they do, faithful ministers of Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, in all the burdens and sorrows which they are called upon to share, may they be kept from faltering or stumbling. Through daily strengthening from your word, and through the gracious working of your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we pray that we may be instruments in relieving others' needs. Almighty Father, giver of life and strength, we beseech you for the millions of people in the world who are suffering. We acknowledge the richness of your goodness towards us, and we pray for grace to show our thankfulness by working and giving to relieve the needs of those who are in want. We ask it in the name of him who is the bread of life, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And we pray for those in positions of responsibility in both church and state, and those whom they serve. For Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State, Brandon Lewis, and the government. The First Minister, Paul Given, Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the Executive. President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Taoiseach de Leo Varadkar, and government in the Republic. Almighty God, we know that everything is in your sovereign control. We ask that you will assist us in keeping these new variants of coronavirus from spreading further. Give to all in positions of responsibility the ability to appropriately admit people arriving from other countries. As restrictions are lifted and regulations eased, help people to exercise their newfound freedoms cautiously and sensibly. We pray for real communication which listens to needs and appreciates difficulties, so that we may live on this earth together in harmony and peace, in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And we pray for the communities from which we come and in which we live. Lord God, you have taught us that we are members one of another, and that none of us lives to himself or herself alone. We thank you for the community of which we are part, for those who share with us in its activities, and for all who serve its varied interests. Help us as we have opportunity to make our own contribution to the community and to learn to be good neighbours, that we may love and serve one another for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And we pray for those involved in the present political and humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan, remembering both those in the country and on the international world stage. God of wisdom and might, we pray for all those involved in the rapidly unfolding and deteriorating situation in Afghanistan, remembering in particular all who bear the responsibilities of leadership. May the Holy Spirit so direct their counsels and actions that justice and mercy may prevail, evil be averted and harmony be restored, to the honour of your great name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And we pray for all on holiday. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the holidays and for all times of rest and recreation. Give refreshment of body and spirit to our friends who are now on holiday, that they may return to their work and to our fellowship with new strength and a fresh vision of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our needs before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not and in our blindness we cannot ask, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of your Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
The hymn, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This past week, it may have seemed and felt like the month of October. We're not quite at that month yet, in reality. But if it were October, our gardens and yards would be full of leaves. One could spend days or even weeks engaged in the backbreaking work of bending down to pick up each leaf and put it in a refuse sack. But if one happens to have a leaf blower, you could take care of your yard in an hour or so. If, however, you wash your hair and then try to style your hair with that leaf blower, you will, of course, look totally ridiculous. Lawn tools are invaluable for taking care of lawns, but not really suitable for most other tasks. In much the same way, humans are created for one specific purpose. When we set ourselves to the task for which we were created, everything goes well. All seems right with the world. But when we forget what we are created for, everything goes somewhat off course, and we live in ignorance of the ultimate point of our lives. What we are made for, the basic function of a human being, is love, and specifically the love of God. We are designed for loving friendship with our Creator, but we don't come to this through either casually treating God like a pal or by working to convince him that we are fantastic. Instead, we come into this loving relationship through receiving the world, all that we are and all that we have, as gifts from God, for we can only know God through thanksgiving. We give thanks not because God either needs our praise or appreciates the occasional pat on the back, but because God commands us to do so, not for his own sake, but for ours. In the Garden of Eden, all things were given by God to Adam and Eve. The entire world, all food, everything was a direct gift from God to his beloved creatures. Everything they had was a sign of God's love and blessing. The value of each bite of food was the fact that it revealed God's love to them, God's care for them. The nourishment they received, which made their bodies strong, that stopped their hunger, was a secondary experience. The main experience was always of being loved. The work was valuable, not as a comfortable place to sleep or a lovely sunset, but every single person, place and thing was an overwhelming experience of their communion with God. In all the Garden of Eden, there was only one object that God did not give the humans: the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything else was a gift, a window into the glory of God. But because this tree was not given, it could be seen not as a revelation or as a blessing, but as a good in and of itself. Adam and Eve cast everything else aside and went for the thing in and of itself. And that is what we as humans have been doing ever since. Not when we, so to speak, grab a sandwich or some other snack. It's not to feel God's love for us, but to stop our tummies from rumbling. When we receive a salary payment or wage, I suspect we aren't overwhelmed by thankfulness to God. Instead, we look to see how much, if anything, has been deducted. We think about how much we can put in savings, or maybe contemplate a little treat for ourselves. To some extent, at least, we have lost the ability to commune with God through thanksgiving. We have forgotten to look around and see what he is doing for us, giving us not just food and homes and friends and families, but the breath of life, our mental faculties, voices to praise him, hands with which to serve him. If we were in our right minds, nothing would be of value in and of itself, but the chief value of everything would be a revelation of God's love and blessing to us. And so today, Jesus comes to the disciples and says, if you are too blind to see me in all that I give you, if you won't see my love in all that you have, then I give you myself, my own body and blood. Unless you eat it in thanksgiving, you will have no life in you. And the disciples say, give us your what? This sounds bizarre. They say, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? And we're told that because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. This teaching that Christ would give us his actual flesh, his actual blood, it was utterly incomprehensible, and many gave up being his disciples altogether. Eucharist in Greek literally means thanksgiving. It is the act of taking the ordinary food that Jesus has blessed us with, our ordinary daily bread and wine, and sacrificing it, giving it back to God to show our praise and thanksgiving to him. When we make sacrifices to God, when we give of our time, when we give of our money, when we return our daily bread to him, this is not something that we do for his benefit, but for ourselves. We force ourselves to return to right relationship, to the true thankfulness that is the only perspective from which we can know God. God receives our gifts and pours out the Holy Spirit upon them, and the ordinary bread and wine of our sacrifice becomes the body and blood of Christ. Jesus said, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. Through our act of thanksgiving, through our Eucharist, we come into the presence of this flesh and blood, and then we eat of it. And we begin to abide in Christ, and he in us, and we in the Father through him. But the communion or the Eucharist is not a simple status change. You don't receive Holy Communion and return to your regular old life Instead, we have to be open to the grace of the sacrament. We have to allow God's grace to shape us, to transform us into our Eucharistic beings, into Christians who give thanks to God in all times and in all places. Until recently, many in the Church have been unable to receive the Eucharist often because they may be housebound and it was impossible for clergy to visit homes. Many others have not received the Eucharist in over a year because the pandemic kept our churches from safely opening their doors. But the frequency of our reception is not what makes a Eucharistic life. Instead, it is being for others a vision of the grace of God, the peace of God, the joy of God in living a life of thanksgiving. You stop at a traffic light and see a homeless man waving a sign and think, "This is awkward. Now I have to avoid eye contact for the next 30 seconds. Or worse, I have to give him a pound just not to feel guilty." Or, alternatively, you can pray, "What a blessing that I get to serve as Christ's hands in this moment, that I get to share Christ's love through a pound or a sandwich or a conversation over lunch." You encounter always your furious neighbour who seems to do nothing but post rants on social media. You can think, "Here we go again. I'm going to do what I can to ignore this person." Or you can pray, "Thank you, God, for bringing me together with my brother or sister. May I be to him or her an oasis of your peace, a messenger of your grace." You can go into your home or a doctor's appointment, into work or to the cinema, either thinking about your own goals, your own concerns, or you can allow the Holy Communion to form you, allow eternal life to shape you. You can see every angle in your life as an overwhelming sign of God's infinite love for you and give thanks. In so doing, you will abide in Christ and he in you. In so doing, you will allow eternal life to take root in you. In so doing, you begin to live not on earth but in heaven. For this is eternal life. This is what those in heaven experience. It is a constant revelation of God's love, a constant overwhelming experience of God's infinite goodness. Will you be like Adam and Eve? Will you be like those disciples who rejected the body and blood of Christ? Or will you allow the transformation that God has begun in you to shape your life, making every moment and experience of the love of God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The hymn, "In Christ Alone."
Thank you.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. The hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We thank you for being with us online for this service. Material for the September edition of the Parish Magazine is now due and should be left without delay with Roger Maxwell. Sunday next is the 13th Sunday after Trinity. There will be a service online on the parish website from 10 a.m. There will be in-church services of morning prayer and the litany at 10 o'clock in Annahilt and at 12 noon in Mara Hamlet. The following week, there will be the annual Bible Week observance. The speaker this year is the Reverend Mark Aldridge, who will lead the diocese in 4 studies in Jonah under the title A Confident Church. On Tuesday, the 31st of August, there will be an online session for select vestries only. No booking is required. There will be in-person meetings during the remaining days of the week in Shankill Parish Church in Lurgan, Wednesday, the 1st of September, Tuesday, the 2nd of September, and Friday, the 3rd of September. Each evening will be shared live via social media, but it is possible to attend in person. You are asked, please, to book via Eventbrite at either downandremorebibleweek21.eventbritestudio.com or through the individual links on the diocesan website. Please keep this very much in mind and do please consider joining us. Thank you.